I was thinking about some of the witness that we heard yesterday. I mentioned before about the ability to hug each other, which is a beautiful thing. One of the things that I appreciated hearing about and observed for a long time was the way in which Bob Essington greeted people. There are other people that are in this room that are very, very thoughtful and active in reaching out and welcoming folks who are new to our fellowship or they haven't seen in a while. And it makes a big difference when someone, you know, recognizes you as a human being. They may not even know your name, right? Or they may have learned your name some time ago and forgot it. You know, it's okay, whatever. But, you know, to be acknowledged as a human being, and it's just that opens doors. It's a beautiful thing. And so that is certainly true for lots of different contexts, you know, work and school and all that. But church is a place that how we're welcomed and how we are welcoming is hugely important. A few years ago, Gina and I responded to what we understood to be a call from God to enter into ministry. Now, we had been part of a church for about 8 years when we left Central Virginia to move to Georgia. We had been part of a community. We certainly, you know, kind of like when we first went into a church, that church community, that beginning of that 8 year cycle, you know, it took a while to kind of like, you know, figure out who we were in the midst of all that and that we even belonged. Do we belong? Do I belong? I remember one of my first Sundays that I was there, it was a stewardship Sunday. And so we were talking about money, and I was kind of like, okay, here we go. And then I looked over, and it was in the fall, and I saw on a lady who was sitting in the same pew as I, one of the fanciest furs. Do you remember when people wore furs? Some of you have furs in your closet. I know you do. And it's okay. But she had the fur and the hat, right, and the gloves. And so this was in a college town. She was dressed to the nines. She looked absolutely British and lovely, you know. And so I looked at her, and my wife looked at her and was like, is this our church, you know? And it was. We just didn't know it at the time fully. Because there were also other people there, and she was a lovely lady. We got to become friends with her, and she was just this kind, beautiful person. And there were other people that were very welcoming us in different ways. And they gave us the space. They recognized us as people and as of value, but they also gave us the space for us to kind of like, you know, figure things out. I came to that church with some really kind of hard feelings about things related to faith. And my wife was, you know, trying to figure out, you know, her own place in that. She grew up Methodist, but in a very, very different church with different practices, even as United Methodist. So she was trying to figure things out too. So it was different from the Baptist church that we had visited a few weeks prior to that. That church was okay. They had a nice service. Their preacher was okay. One of the things that happened to us is when we were leaving the church, and we were young adults at the time, and we were in a demographic that people had identified as desirable, okay? Which is, you know, nice to be desirable, of course. And there was this one lady that came out of the church. We were walking out of the church, down the steps, and across the street to where a car was parked. And this lady literally ran down the steps to chase us down, to greet us. And she was almost hit by a car. She was so excited that there was a young couple there inside the church. And she asked us maybe like three of the most obnoxious questions that she could. I think they gave her like a list of like, here are the frightening questions that you should ask of young couples as they come in. And so she asked us the appropriate horrible questions. And we said, you know, thank you so much. And we never, ever, ever went back. And part of that was, you know, just the awkwardness, but also part of it was us kind of making sense of, do we fit in here? Do we belong here? Is this a place for me? So flash forward, that was how we began this kind of long journey of like figuring out who we were in our life of faith in our particular United Methodist Church. That's Farmville United Methodist Church. And 8 years later, we are being sent into seminary, into serving in the church. And so we moved to Atlanta, and guess what? We had to find a church. And we went through that whole awful experience once again, trying to figure out, do we belong? Some of you in this room may have been here for a very long time, but you kind of came through. Maybe somebody brought you. You had an ambassador, you know, some sort of bridge. Some of you are, you know, have come here just kind of like coming to our doors, seeing the building on the top of the hill, or seeing something online, or something, you know, to be with us. So we're all kind of negotiating, do I belong here? I would hope you hear me say, you most certainly belong here. That even if we find ourselves in different places on some things, disagreements about some things, please know that you belong here. And people who respond to the very open invitation of Christ belong in the presence of God's people. That's what the church is supposed to be. Now, as I mentioned to you before, there is this series that we've been working our way through that has been focused on the messages of Paul. And we talked about how it is that, you know, text messages are kind of the a quicker an expedient way of kind of getting things across. And so we talked about that first week that we were, that faith comes, and because faith comes, it changes things. It changes people. It changes the understanding. You once were this, but now you're this, right? And then the second week we talked about, and you being changed, you being transformed, the text message would be, you being transformed means you're transformed for something. It's not just, you know, new you, new day, but new you for purpose. And what are you transformed for? With me? So today we are talking about, all right, so what does that matter? And in some ways, it's mediated by a whole conversation about, well, who gets in? You know, it's almost like a kind of a reversal of what we started with, that when we, because faith comes, because that relationship of faith comes through Jesus Christ, there is no more Gentile or Jew, no more slave or free, no more woman or man, right? Remember, we sang that song, right? That those kind of divisions or barriers or categorizational thinking does not matter, right? But Paul, in what he's writing about, what you just heard read, is dealing with a whole issue that makes this sermon move into the land of viewer discretion is advised. Okay? So let's get ready for the awkward conversation that we need to have about circumcision. There is nothing that makes me happier than to preach about circumcision. I mean, I get up some mornings and I think, maybe this is the week that we can talk about circumcision, right? Because it's just, you know, it's just awkward. And there is this whole business of a mark, literally, of being Jewish inside of the time of Jesus and before was that men were circumcised, which makes me think, like, you know, that had to be hard. Not uncommon to be kind of working through this idea of, are you really Jewish? You don't look Jewish. So we've got, you know, so I'm not going to tell penis jokes. I'm not going to do that. I've got about 20 minutes of material that I can't use. But we have to put this in the context of what happens after Jesus is resurrected and the church is working its way through communities. There is a real hard concept and a real hard set of conversations about what do we do with people's penises if they want to be Christian. Are we going to circumcise? I'm sorry to get graphic here, but are we going to require circumcision so that men can become Christians? Look at the book of Acts. Verses and chapters spilled on that whole issue of what do we do with this? And more importantly, who is it that we let in? Can we let people in that are not exactly the way that we expect them to be? Can we let people in who are not what we would think that they would be? How they would dress? What kind of clothing would they wear? How would they wear their hair? How would they vote? How would they approach things about sexuality? How would they work their way through life in regards to their finances or to their job? Can soldiers be Christians? There have been arguments on both sides of that that are pretty compelling. Can a person who has committed an act that has ended another person's life, who has killed someone, can they be understood as being a Christian? Can a person who has violated the Holy Spirit, and these are scriptural words, can we expect them? Can we accept them? Can we let them in to the family? So suddenly, it's, you know, that question that Gina and I were trying to navigate as we were trying to find a church. Are we acceptable here? Am I acceptable? Are you acceptable in this place because of what you have done or not done, how you are or are not? This is what Paul is saying. Be careful where we draw the lines. But as for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters. that I failed in this way, that I am the wrong skin color, that I am the wrong height, that I am this or that. As for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything else except for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. At one point, he even says, you know, when Paul is constructing these letters, there's a whole team of people involved with this. There's evidence to point to. There's, you know, there's different linguistic kinds of things going on. So there's it's a group effort. It's kind of like when you say that there is the Trump administration, right? But really, there's lots of people involved. The Biden administration, the Obama administration. We can kind of point to that one person, but there's lots and lots of people involved. And with Paul, you have the same thing. And at one point, Paul says, give me the pen. He takes the pen and he uses his own hand and says, look how awful my handwriting is. Isn't that something? Suddenly, you're back in third grade trying to do cursive. Remember writing in cursive, some of us? Oh, that magic scribe. Look at the large letters I'm making with my own handwriting. In the very next sentence, he turns it upside down. Whoever wants to look good by human standards will try to get you to be circumcised, to fit in, to do the things that, you know, good people should be doing, but only so they won't be harassed for the cross of Christ. They're doing it for other reasons besides the relationship that we are called to be in. Those who are circumcised don't observe the law themselves, but they want you to so that they can boast about your physical body. Look what we did to him. And we're part of the cool kids here. Is that what we're called to be? Is this who we are called to be as church? No. Remember, because faith has come, you are no longer in those categories, Gentile or Jew, slave or free, woman or man. And when faith comes, it frees you, but frees you for a purpose. Remember what we talked about. You are freed for a purpose so that you would live in the ways of the Spirit. Now that faith has come, you are a new creation. You have been made for a purpose for living faithfully in love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all of that produced in a partnership with you and the Spirit. So do not get tied. Do not get tired of doing good, because in time we'll have a harvest if you don't give up. So then let's work for the good of all whenever we have an opportunity, and especially those who live in the household of faith. That is the lead up to the final words in this, which is, don't let these things that separate or diminish or precondition the love of God mess you up. You are a new creation, and that's all that matters. That is the fullness of all that matters. So you can walk in here any way that you are, with any history that you have, with any struggle that you have. You can walk in here not fully believing half of anything that is said, and you are still welcome here. You can walk in here with questions and anger, and I don't believe a word Bert is saying right now, and I can't believe he talked about what he talked about earlier. You are still welcome in this place. You are welcome here. Now, we might not always make each other feel that welcome. Yeah, you. We might not make each other feel that welcome. And How are we living our faith then? The new creation, the beautiful thing that you are becoming, is what matters. The beautiful person, renewed in the image of God and saved by Christ Jesus for a purpose, is all that matters. So the homework for this week is, how are you living into that? Who are you still becoming? And I say all this to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.